Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. You can send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find the WIBR Warn Radio on Sayscape, USA.life, MeWe, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Linktree, and Pure Social. You can listen to our shows on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. You can also find the Warn Radio on the following streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Anchor, and Podchaser. Don't miss out on the Christian End Time Prophecy interviews on Classic Warn Radio. Our classic interviews from the past are with L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Patrick Heron, Dr. Mike Heiser, and Benjamin Baruch. And check out the article from Dana, Road of Life Intersects with Death. It is hard to find peace if all you see in the world is chaos and trouble. There is a clue. Find out what this means. Also, America's Endangered State of the Union. America and the nations may be in danger, but we have overcome through Christ Jesus. And last but not least, Perilous Living, Best and Worst of Times. Perilous living, chaos in the world? Really? Or is it just that people can't get along? There is hope and the power to overcome. And you can read those articles and listen to the interviews from the past by going to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, doing good. We've had a little bit of a repose here in between, over at Passover, Unleavened Bread, and then, of course, we came to Easter, and then we got into a week we were going to be doing the shows, and we ended up with some major events going on.
We're glad to be back, thank God.
Yes, we are. And we're working on getting The Rising.
That's your new book that goes along with, there's a sequel to Steal the Darkness.
Yeah. And so we're working on that as well. We'll let everybody know. It will go into pre-sale. But at any rate, so we're working on that. We had to do a complete overhaul of one of our websites, and then we had some major issues here in the studio. So, needless to say, but you know, just a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on.
But God is good, and we're back.
You know, the amazing thing of it is we've been doing, you know, we go clear back to early 2000 when we first were doing shows. And it's not like it was, it is today. Not at all.
Oh, the technology is so much more advanced. It's amazing.
And we've always been missions oriented as far as wanting to bring forth the church and the missionaries, other people that are working to get the gospel around, help those. Well, one, and I can't remember exactly how we ran into the Middle Bibles for the Mideast. They have a ministry, and they also have a whole bunch of church houses, house churches, rather, that are underneath the banner of ALG, the Assembly of Loving God. Now, one thing I love about them over in India and the Middle East and other places is that when they have a church, like we have one of our former churches that we don't go to, but they changed it. What was the name? Radius?
Yes.
You see, Radius is not what they would do in some of these other areas. The Assembly of the Loving God. They always do that. You know, or Outreach to the Lost Jesus Christ, or something like that. I mean, they always put what they're doing and who they're serving right in the title. All the time. A lot different than the modern titles in America and the West. And the one thing, and this actually comes from the president. He's the president of, I believe, the Assembly of Loving God. And it's Pastor Paul, who is the one that started Bibles for the Mideast. And these are all ex-Muslims who come to the Lord. And they're distributing Bibles and bringing people to the Lord. And miracles are following them. But there was a recent request to send some Bibles into Bangladesh, and before that there was another big request, and we get this from many, many different sources. You know, Tower, it seems like what they want over there is Bibles.
The Word of God. Because that's our bread of life.
And so they sent 8,775 Bibles to the pastor over there.
Well, that's a lot.
And the team in Bangladesh. That's a pile of Bibles.
Yes, it is.
And of course, they donated the Bibles to those who are eager to receive the Word of God. And they go on to say the Lord miraculously saved many Muslim villages in the northern part of Bangladesh. Now,
thank God, that's exciting.
Early on in our in these end of days, when we were online, we had connections in India, and we still do have connections through different sources. But the bottom line of it is that a lot of these villages, when they come to the Lord, it's not unusual to see the entire village, because they're like a tribe. They're tribal. And so you get one, the chief, everybody comes to the Lord. And so they were able to open some more underground churches. Some hundreds received baptism. Now, this is what's going on around the world. And there's many persecutions, though, from the Muslims. But they have a target of donating 10,000 Bibles, and they need another 1,225 Urdu Bibles. So, you know, they could send 8,775. That's not 10,000. He wanted to give out 10,000.
Well, he's not far from the mark. I'm sure he's received it by now. If not, he will.
Well, you know where he's at. He's in Bangladesh. Bangladesh is next to India. There's hundreds and hundreds of millions of people in these areas. So 10,000 is like a drop in the bucket.
Yes, that's true.
And there's enough Muslims that hate you to go around. Now, they did make a note of the church in the Sultanate of Oman is going through hardships. And we had done this story about a mother in Oman who was miraculously healed and secretly received baptism. And because of that, there's a lot of problems. The Muslims get upset and begin persecuting the Christians. And then there's the church in Somalia in Africa, which Africa has really, really a lot of trouble, especially from the Fulani and Boko Haram. Well, in Somalia, the pastor's threatened, and that's usual. You know, pick on the pastor, get the husbands, you know. But at any rate, he had sent this around Easter when it occurred, and he said, Happy Resurrection Day. And with a great hope, we are waiting to meet him on his great and wonderful day. Amen. Lord Jesus, come. We really need him to come.
Yes, amen.
But there's a lot of people that are unsaved. So at any rate, that's direct from the front lines, and there's a lot of frontline reports. This one comes out of International Christian Concern. And this was some time ago, but we have seen this before time and time again over the years, over the many years. And radical Muslims, in this case, it's Al-Shabaab. And see, you have Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda. There's an ISIS segment in parts of Nigeria. The Fulani is in quite a few places. Boko Haram is there. So you've got quite a few of these really virulent groups. And all they do is target Christians and Christian villages. They even have celebrations over there when they have a successful attack and can kill Christians. I mean, this is the way the world is. We find this literally around the world.
This is so tragic that they can't, that's all they live for is to destroy somebody else and to kill them.
And so when we look at America and we see the hatred that's flowing out of Washington, D.C., and even out of the Biden White House, it's condescending. And they were talking about that today, about all these redneck Christians. Very, very harsh, stupid comments. And I know the difference between a redneck, a hippie, and a cowboy. And this ain't a joke. Where I was raised, we didn't have any blacks. We didn't know what, you know, we didn't know what Negroes were because we were never around Negroes. And it wasn't until I was in the service that I met the different kinds of Negroes, like the ones in San Diego that wanted to beat all the whites up. And we had left, and they went ahead and attacked two of our buddies and beat them up pretty bad, a whole bunch of blacks. So that was the one side. And then later on in the military, as I lived there, went through it, I had trouble with a white officer, two of them. They wouldn't leave me alone. I don't know why, but at any rate, I had this black brother who came up to stick up for me, offered to help me. And he was black, but he was a friend. He was a good guy. And so, you know, there's a lot of them that say that if you have to say black, then you're racist. Well, in this country, if I just told you somebody, that wouldn't be enough. It has to be specific. You have to know that he's black, that he stood up for me, a white guy. So that's why I do that, to let you know. And being raised, I found more people when I was going to school that were white than I did any other race. And that includes the Indians and includes the Mexicans. And includes Of course, the cowboys are different. They're usually any kind of color, but they're cowboys, and then there's also hippies. Never had trouble. But with a highfalutin class, highfalutin snobbish whites in high school that I went to, they caused trouble. So folks, when you really look around, it's not the color of the skin. I wrote an article on this. The sin is not in the skin. It's that which is within. And so when we look at Al-Shabaab over here in Africa, and they go after these buses because they're easy targets, and of course the drivers have no way to stop anything. They just have to stop. And because they got big windows, they could get shot in a minute. And so these guys come aboard, they take off the Christians and do whatever they want with them. And of course, in Kenya, you know, it's been really bad over in Nigeria, but now in Kenya lately, a lot of these groups are being encouraged to do. And in this one, a number of passengers died. And as you look at the report, it was near the Kenya-Somali border, but when you look at it, it says a group of armed Al-Shabaab militants robbed travelers and the bus conductor after failing to find Christians in the bus. So they got mad and killed people. There wasn't no Christians around. So, you know, we're good guys. We just hate Christians. But you guys made us mad because you didn't put any Christians here for us to kill. So we're just going to kill you.
That's idiotic.
I mean, you know, this is the way these people make. They're expecting when they die to find a bunch of virgins and good wine and all the rest of that stuff. Man, are they going to be surprised?
Yes, they are.
I mean, it's just absolutely unconscionable. You know, and what we see going on around the world, very few people do anything to stop it. And if you take the war in Afghanistan, you know, when it was going on, we were opposed to it. We said that when they get all said and done, the Taliban will be back in power. Well, guess what? Biden's now made up his mind that he's going to pull out all the troops out of Afghanistan. It's going to be officially turned back to the Taliban. Actually, the government there, but the Taliban will take it over. Just no doubt about it. So this is what we see. We see this globally around the world all the time. And when you have the kind of nonsense, the kind of baloney, the kind of loudmouth knuckleheads that we have in America in the political realm, and some of these people who are elected leaders, and many of them are liberal Democrats, that allow the BLM and Antifa to riot. You know, and I know over in Portland, the police force was talking about quitting. Antifa said they challenged one of the buildings over there, was going to burn it to the ground. Now, I don't know if that was a federal building either, but see, since Biden got in, he don't seem to defend the federal buildings either. So, you know, if you think you're safe in America, you know, I got news for you. You better wake up. Because I can tell you what we see around the world, and with what Biden did by opening up the border, you don't know how many terrorists went through there. And they will do that. Don't be fooled.
He's compromised America and our safety.
Yeah. And right now, it doesn't make a difference that he cheated on the election, because nobody's going to do anything about it. So I can tell you who's going to suffer. And I've been warning about this for many years, and if you want to get some biblical proof, you tune in to our Thursday broadcast and Friday broadcast, because I'll bring some stuff up about it. It just amazes me how ignorant, how blinded Americans are today, thinking that everything's fine. Around the world all the time, we report this stuff going on, and it's people getting killed. And as I reported here, it wasn't Christians. there's a lot of Muslims and others that are getting killed too. People that don't want this kind of thing. But the leaders don't do much of anything. And the global leaders don't do anything. Now, we do have a focus topic. Now, this is on China. You know, this is another one of those places, Tower. You know, there's two areas. What two areas? I'll just ask you this. And you should know this. What two areas do I always bring up and I'm always praying for?
China and North Korea.
Yeah. And then I add India and Pakistan. Then I go into Nigeria. Now, we literally pray for as many nations. I go around the world and pray for
Iran.
But, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, you say, well, you know, it's going to be okay in America. God's going to save us and deliver us, make everything perfect.
We're going to have a rapture. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Yeah, we're going to go in the rapture. We're going to be safe. Well, I got news for you people. It's about time for you to get out of your blinded state that you have. And it's really bad on social media. You can't even talk to people. They got their own little thing, and they've got their own little different methods of interpreting the Bible, and instead of taking it in context and understanding it, they just, you know, take it down the road. But at any rate, in China, house churches are being raided across China, and they're shut down by the Chinese authorities, the same authorities. I mean, these are different people, but the same power. That shut down Wang Yi's church and burned his Torah's church down, threw him in prison along with the leaders, had everybody in the church sign a pledge not to go to any kind of a Christian church. They're to serve the communist state first and then God later. Because if God's going to take care of you and you're a Christian, then the communists are not going to give you any money. And if you want us to give you money, they say, you got to take your picture of Jesus off the wall. Now, I don't have any pictures of Jesus on the wall. Because if you look back in Scripture, we get clear back in the law, you shall make no images of him. And there is something to be said about a lot of that. So it's time people to wake up. And so, here you got China, and guess what? You know, Hunter Biden and Biden are connected to China like syphilis is connected to those who are loose with the sex. And in the service, when you were on board ship and going around the world, the first thing they gave you a lecture on was be careful who you'd go to bed because there was black syphilis going around. Now, I'm telling you, folks, now this is graphic. But you need to understand something. China and the communists are corrupt. In North Korea, they're corrupt, the leaders. The system is. In America, your system now is corrupt. The people that are running it are corrupt. And there are preachers up there that are corrupt and profane. And I could keep going. Now, you don't have to believe me. You can sit here in your own little stew of delusion and stay here. And, you know, we'll just see how far you can go. But the bottom line of it is that when you're in China, you pay a price. When you're in North Korea, you pay a price. And in America, you know what the Lord said to Babylon, to the Christians there? Come out of her, my people. You're not to be in Babylon. Connected as far as in the heart. You're to be connected to the Lord and understand they hate you. And the way they've been acting in the last probably 5-6 years, you could probably go back to 2010, I think. Don't you, Tower? Or further?
Oh, probably further.
And so, at any rate, one of the lawyers, he was the church leader, and matter of fact, he is the leader, the lawyer for Wang Yi, and I pray for Wang Yi all the time. He's a little older, his health wasn't the best, And he's still in prison over there, and he has a wife and kids.
Well, how long has that been? A couple years?
Yeah, at least. Two or three, maybe. Time goes by so fast.
I know, I can't keep track of it.
And so, you know, in the church that they raided, he was the one that, the pastor there, he's a church leader in Shanghai. And, you know, he was seen with the authorities as well. And he had to go with the church leaders, and then he was later released. And so, you know, it just irritates me about China. China has a good culture. But I was warned as a child about China. So it shouldn't surprise me. And now we do have something from Tower.
Yeah, this is a good story. I really like this. It comes to us from Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse works in many countries throughout the world, and they have many different projects that they do to help people to be healthy and live well. They try to make people's lives better. And this one is about clean drinking water, and they bring it to the people around the world. But this story comes to us out of Kenya. And they helped Philip, a Kenyan tea farmer and devoted, loving father who's been caring for his four children for several years since his wife passed away. And he'd been helpless to stop the relentless cycle of fierce pain his kids endured due to waterborne illnesses. And they would get their water from the spring about a mile away, and it was the only choice he had to get drinking water and bathing and cooking. And so the children were often sick. He was sick. And the children missed a lot of school. And he said he had no hope for clean drinking water. And around the world, families like Phillips are desperate for clean water. So Samaritan's Purse is continuing to help these communities to provide the clean drinking water to bring them hope and healthier, brighter future so they can thrive and help others. And his children are now healthy. They no longer miss school due to the waterborne illnesses. And 2 years ago is when God provided Philip's family in a way he never imagined. He received this household water filter from Samaritan's Purse, and his life hasn't been the same since. His family enjoys the clean water for cooking, bathing, washing clothes, drinking. And he said he's thankful because his kids are finally healthy, which means they aren't missing a lot of school. And he was not fortunate enough to go to school, so he wants his children to have a better life. And that's just like every parent. We all want our children to have a better life. And he's also saving money since he's not weighted down by the burden of paying for expensive doctor visits and medication. And he's also able to share the love of God in the community. And Philip was trained by Samaritan's Purse on how to use the filter and practice healthy hygiene. And he was trained by them as a health and hygiene resource for his community, helping to meet both physical and spiritual needs in the households he visits. And he says, "I am an ambassador in this community. The entry point is clean water and hygiene in the home. When you meet the needs of others, people will see the love of God." And so that's in many areas. Basic necessity of water means life, health, and also the gospel and God's love. So that's one of the many things that Samaritan's Purse is doing around the world. So that's it. I love hearing those stories.
Well, I do too, you know, and I was just thinking about unclean water today. Because we do take water for granted.
Oh, we do.
And around the world. Now, we did a story some time ago. And you get in some countries, like Ethiopia and other places, where water is scarce. The women have to walk for miles just to try to find water. And especially if there's a drought, the wells are dry. And, you know, we just have not a clue, you know, where the suffering is in the world and what they need to do. And it's beyond me why we have such a group of meatheads in this country that are working to destroy it so we can be without everything and everything's going to go down. Because when it goes down, you know, of course the millionaires won't be touched. But the problem with the rich, their riches is not going to deliver them from the judgment that comes. And I'm not talking about the final judgment. They will pay there. But there's a judgment coming in what we call the Great Tribulation. And we've got scriptures to show what is going to happen. Now, you may think scriptures are a bunch of baloney, but you know what? You're just going to have to decide for yourself. And in the end, they will prove themselves for what they really are. So, water is absolute. It's something you need. Now, another thing, that, and you and I talked about this, and that was the Israel's Abraham Accords. Now, this was in the news, but it was also brought up by persecution.org, who wrote about it. There's a lot of, now, not every church understands the Abraham Accords. And of course, this goes all the way back to Ishmael and Isaac, both sons of Abraham. The promise went through Isaac. However, God made sure, he sent an angel to Ishmael's side. It was the mother and the son, Ishmael. They had been driven out of the camp. And he said he was going to take care of them, and that she would have a whole tribe, 12 sons, just like the other one. But and so today we see this conflict between Ishmael and Isaac that is biblical. And yet we see more and more of them that are starting to try to make peace with their brother Israel. Because you see, God wants to save Ishmael as well as the rest of the Gentiles. And so you have the signing of the Abrahamic Accords, and this is something that actually Jared, isn't his name Jared? The one that's married to one of the Trump girls?
Yes, yes.
He's the one that was heading it up in Israel.
Jared Kushner.
Yeah. And so this was a thing pushed by the Trump administration. And while it was going on, I forgot how many countries we saw sign on. I think it was four.
Four, maybe more than that. I was thinking six.
Because this one here talks about normalizing relations between Israel and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. And Bahrain and UAE have opened up more visible Jewish presence. The local Jewish communities of Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia and the UAE have come together to announce the formation of the Association of Gulf Jewish Communities. I mean, they're all coming together.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And, you know, this is so prophetic. Now, there are going to be enemies of Israel, and Persia, Iran, has always been one of them, always, except for the time when Cyrus of Persia defeated Babylon and released the Jews and told them to go build their temple back and rebuild Jerusalem, and he let them go. But In today's world of division and end of days and prophecy, I believe there is no greater prophecy, no greater prophetic event than Israel having special Abrahamic accords with Ishmael. Unfortunately, this missed the news altogether. And the thing of it is, of course, the West isn't doing nothing, but the problem of it is, this is a positive step, but it's by no means going to end the hostilities. So that's why it always says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And there's another one, pray for the salvation of Israel. Now, another one that I always talk about, and that's Nigeria.
Yep, always.
And I saw this kidnapping on video. And this is in the Kaduna state, which is very, very dangerous. And there, they had a church by the name of the Redeemed Christian Church of God.
I like that name.
And they were traveling from Kaduna to another city when their bus was intercepted on the highway. They were kidnapped by Fulani herdsmen. It's probably been March, April, not quite a month ago, less than a month. And the one I saw was of one person, one pastor, that had been stopped by three cars, official black, big black cars, SUVs, and he disappeared completely. Now, the kidnapping of these eight Christians, especially by the Fulani. Now, the Fulani are just a bunch of herdsmen. And we reported, it was probably maybe even 10 years ago when the first report of the Fulani, who were always looking for more land to roam and got tired of the Christians having land that they couldn't go on. So, Boko Haram began talking to them to teach them how to fight and what to do.
That's too bad.
And of course, Buhari, who happens to be the current president of Nigeria, is a Fulani. And he's not doing the job, he doesn't get it done, and he can't. So these people continue to kidnap, and they'll kidnap them for ransom, they pay them money, and they have plenty of money to live on, and they just keep doing it. That's how they fund themselves. Well, recently, the Nigerian government, I think that's who it was. I can't say which government it was. I just heard the fact that they were not going to pay ransom anymore, which means they'll just kill them. But every time you pay them money, you end up enabling them to get better weapons and become more wicked than they were before. And see, this is why we need to understand the truth. We are in a day and age, as Paul said, that they will despise those who are good. They will hate Christians. And that's all there is to it. They don't need a reason. And so, just think of all the kids. I did see a figure some time ago, how many kids that are without parents.
Oh, I know. That just is gut-wrenching.
You know, and I just, you know, I look at what's happening in America, around the world, you know, and I hear Christians talk about, well, you know, God will deliver us and all this other stuff. Well, you know what, how we overcome or overcame, past tense? It's found in Revelation 12:11. They overcame, past tense, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. So, That's the deliverance. You love your life, not unto death. Now, you see, I wish I could tell every Christian in America that God's going to keep you safe and warm and fuzzy and have fresh, clean drinking water and you'll never have an enemy. But that would be a lie. The fact of it is, today, God is going to require of America and the Western nations, not just America, a lot more than what they've been given out. A lot more than their selfishness. And that's why we're so divided today. Now, I pray that we will find God's mercy. I pray that in God's judgment there will be mercy. But I'm going to tell you, Christians, some of those who are caught are thrown in cages about the like you'd put a large dog. They're thrown in camps where there's no food except a watered-down broth. And they have eaten all the rats and all the other animals.
And the grass.
And the grass and the weeds, and then they eat the dirt. They don't care. This is North Korea. Personal testimony of those who escaped. And we see it around the world, folks. Now, you better think again about who you vote next time. But it isn't going to make any difference if somebody doesn't solve the cheating like they did this last time.
Yeah.
And just because you have a bunch of leaders that say there was no cheating, don't believe them. They're liars. There was cheating. And I can tell you that, and I'd swear that on a stack of Bibles, and I would even stand before the Lord, and he would know it. There was cheating on a big scale. There's wickedness, there's money pouring in, and there's also enemy pouring over the gates. You're getting ready to see. And you're going to find out just how much suffering is going to go on in this country. So you'd better pray. You better be, like James says, now's not the time to be smiling. He says you need to be weeping and crying. Seeking the Lord.
No.
So, now we have another one. Now this is really a neat one.
Oh, it is. It's exciting. It's a firefighter delivered from flames. And this comes to us from CBN. And the man's name is, he's a firefighter, and his name is Caldwell. I guess that's... And he said there was no way he should have survived this fire. And this podcast was on Edifies. Jesus is all we need. And the title is Nobody Expected Me to Survive. So in July 24th, 2007, this is a day that will live in infamy for Caldwell. It all began with an event known as the Adams Fire in a one-story structure fire in California that became a defining point in his life. When Caldwell and the team arrived at the fire, it was evident that the blaze was spinning out of control, and he got on the rooftop to assess the situation, and that's when the unthinkable happened. He said he stepped over the division wall and he fell through the decking into the structure fire and fell 13 or 15 feet into the structure, and a ball of flame came out of the hole he created. So you can imagine what was underneath him. And as the flames continued to engulf the building, Caldwell remembers waking up on the ground in the midst of sweltering heat with the blaze quickly closing in and no immediate exit available. And he thought three things in his mind, clear as day. Okay, Lord, I'm in here all by myself. Second, Lord, this is it. I'm ready. And lastly, my life just went before me on a DVD in fast order. And he said the pain was so immense that moments were unbearable, and he compared the intensity to putting your hands in the oven and just letting them burn. He said, I couldn't pull my hands out of the oven, my arms, my hands, my face, the back of my head, my belly. This was hell on earth. And while Caldwell in those moments assumed it was the end, he now believes God had other plans. Excuse me. As the death-defying moments wore on, during an excruciating 7 minute and 10 seconds inside the blaze, Caldwell's captain made a surprising decision. He directed firefighters on the roof to put a hose line down the hole and water and blast water inside. It was because he believed that Caldwell was dead, but he wanted the family to be able to have an open casket funeral. And that act of mercy ended up being a lifesaver. And Caldwell said it was like, what he did was like water from heaven, and the intense burning he felt immediately stopped in its tracks. And against all odds, he was rescued, survived, and remarkably returned to his job within 10 months. And Caldwell openly credits God for his survival, explaining that miracles just kept happening during the ordeal.
That's amazing.
It is. And, you know, he could have 2 feet to the left and he would have been impaled, and 3 feet to the right he would have fallen through to the concrete floor, but God caught him, stopped
yeah,
him on
the concrete floor down below.
Yeah,
because especially if it's a, you know.
And one good thing came out of it, I believe the captain became a Christian, because he says the captain wasn't a Christian at the time of the blaze, but the captain recalls feeling as though God told him to make that surprising call. It was like God was speaking to me. God told me to take this hose line and put it in the hole. You know, that's amazing, and I believe that God does speak.
Well, I do too, and thank God for it.
Yes, amen.
Well, you know, some more news came out. Now, we know that Putin was cracking down on religious freedom.
Right.
And, you know, and one of the reasons is because they have a number of outlying Soviet satellites in the old days, and they were all Muslim. And since they kind of became a little freer than what they were, these Muslim states began uprising. Well, now, since Putin, I think he's now declared himself president for life. I forgot, up to the year 30-something. He made an arrest of a Jehovah Witness in the city. And, of course, Jehovah Witnesses, you know, I mean, they do have a false gospel. They talk about Jehovah, but they miss the fact that there is Yahshua, the Savior. And you can't have the Father without the Son. So the Jehovah's Witness are in trouble. But the problem you have is that you can't delineate with religious freedom. And so, in 2017, Putin, was pushing this to stop some of this going on. And the Russian Supreme Court put a label on the Jehovah Witness as an extremist organization.
That's funny.
Well, guess what? Guess who else? Let's see, the Christians, the Patriots.
Yep.
And the conservatives were labeled by AOC, Biden, and others as radicals. Some of them in the House, Democrats, called for hunting them down. So it happens in America, folks. And the thing of it is, there is a difference. You have a lot of people in this country that have guns. You start hunting them down, they're going to shoot back. And it's not just going to be Christians. You've got radical Muslims here that are waiting for a war. They train for a Christian Islamic war in America. That's what they're doing. So right now, they've raided the homes of more than 1,300 adherents and have over 400 charged.
Wow.
Now, the big wig of the Association of Jehovah Witnesses says there's between 5 to 10,000 of 10,000 of its members have fled Russia.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
It's really funny that, you know, in this article, they cite the U.S. State Department condemning the crackdown, while at the same time, we just got through a pandemic-type thing where, for the first time, you have a COVID virus with almost 98% cure rate with, you know, it doesn't affect a lot of different groups. But yet, this is the first time in history that we've taken healthy people, we've made them stay at home, wear masks, as if we have one of the worst plagues on earth. We have told the pastors to shut down. We have charged churches. And California is one of the worst. And, of course, there is a number of other, almost all of them are liberal Dems. And we're talking ultra-liberal. It's kind of funny, especially since you have South Dakota and the governor over there, who's a woman, didn't even close it down at all. So this shows you how crosswise we are. We look over and we cry at China, or we cry at Russia, or some of these others, and yet we do the same thing here. But we're too blind to see it. We think we're fine.
That's right.
And even some of the justices in the Supreme Court were standing up saying how Americans are losing their rights. Well, the justices shouldn't have cast out this voting machine thing for one reason, because this country gets turned around. The first ones that get shot in a regime takeover are the Supreme Court justices and all the other justices. They begin in the colleges, the teachers. They begin in the rich. And then they put all the poor slobs in a big camp, and they treat them bad until they decide to become what they want them to be.
Till they get them re-educated.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got an education for them. So that's really, you know, when you look at it, unreal how we have all these things going on. It's just too bad that
it
we're
is.
So blinded.
It's sad.
It is. And I don't know. It's just one of those things. And I think the big key here is that we need to start looking around in America to the freedom. We need to start in our own states and stop these people from taking it over, from putting in this stuff. And you need to also watch what they're doing to your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids, because they'll corrupt your children. And I've talked about this before, but if they corrupt your children, especially before the age of accountability, then these kids are going to be corrupted, and it'll take the Lord to really deliver them, because most of them will be permanently harmed because of what they're doing.
You really, like Dana says, you need to watch what they're teaching in children, and it's unconscionable that they have lost wanting to really educate the children with science and math and that stuff, reading, writing, and trying to make them question their gender identity. This is just unconscionable, and all the other perversions they throw at these kids instead of training them.
Yeah, there's no nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm sure that there's a lot of churches that are trying to do that, but there's churches that are forsaken the right way as well.
That's true.
And there's pastors like Ralph Warnock, who openly states that abortion is God's plan. This guy's so full of peanuts. Of course, he has no idea what blood guilt is.
He is a despot. He's profane.
And that's not all he believes. There's a few other things. But, you know, hey, and I could tell you, there's a number of them up there, but they represent the whore of Babylon is what they do. They represent what this is. Make no mistake, there's wicked and there's righteous. And if you don't think so, then you're on the wrong planet. And it's time for you to get on the right side. period.
So, amen.
Right?
Amen.
Huh? Yeah.
I said amen.
We've got to. I don't know. And when I see all this, you know, and it's increased exponentially, the persecution of Christians globally.
It has.
And now we're reporting an increase in the oppression within states that you've never seen it before. And I mean countries. And you see an increase in the countries that we've been monitoring for a long time. And so at the same time, though, we are seeing miracles and signs and wonders. New Testament miracles, Old Testament miracles, any way you want to talk about it. Above the board, supernatural, God-produced miracles that are delivering Christians, bringing in the enemies of God and saving them. That's what God does. That's what he did when he saved Paul. Paul was an enemy of the gospel. Paul said he did it ignorantly, but he was still an enemy. But God saved him. God specializes in saving the unsavable, saving the enemies. Make no mistake, the Lord will do that. Don't lose your faith. You hang in there. We're to stand strong by faith. We do not open the door to tomorrow with fear, folks. Fear will destabilize you. It will ruin you. We open the door to tomorrow with faith, for Christ is our rock and our foundation. And in Jesus' name, you stand.
Amen.
We're going to have to get out of here.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. We love you. We pray for you. We always hope the best for you in the Lord. Stay safe, and God be with you. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. Go by our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And also the book series, The Steal the Darkness. We're going on with this series, and so be sure to sign up for all of our email stuff that we have both on Warren USA and on Dana Glenn Smith, and the word will go out. So until next time, stay safe, be found in the Lord, and pray for the persecuted church, pray for your family, pray for those around you. In Jesus' name, we win this one. In Jesus' name, the devil's a liar. And in Jesus' name, the principalities and powers of darkness will be destroyed. No matter how they boast today, they will be destroyed, and the righteous will stand there on the day of judgment, and we will be the witnesses to their wickedness. Hallelujah and praise God. We are winners in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.